Amen. Ladies, I want to remind you, if you haven't gotten your ticket for the brunch, please do so. We have a team from Minnesota that is coming to do the music. We have a wonderful speaker with powerful message, young lady from Orlando. It's going to be an awesome time of fellowship and ministry, and the tickets are going to be for sale right after the service. So please go get your ticket and also bring a friend. Let's read the scripture this morning. It comes to us from the book of Mark, one of the Gospels, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Let's practice some lectio divina. Let's read it together. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dare ask him any more questions. May the Lord bless his word this morning. Sooner or later, you and I will ponder on what really matter the most in life. And unfortunately, many times we don't ask that question when we are in our 20s or our 30s or our 40s. Perhaps we begin to ask that question once we turn 50 and 60 and 70. We wonder what really matters the most. And for some, the answer might be the highest level of education that you can achieve. For others, perhaps it's a collection of luxurious cars, big homes, a lot of real estate, accumulation of much wealth, etc., etc. However, when it is all said and done, what really matters the most is healthy relationships. That simple. During Jesus' earthly ministry, there were these teachers of the law known as the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they could not accept the simplicity of Jesus' teaching. They were always trying to put Jesus to the test. And this was one of those days. One of them asked him, "Teacher, of all the commandments," you know, they had rules and regulations and laws and commandments for everything. And so this guy comes to him and says, "Of all of them, which one is the most important one?" Verse 28. And Jesus' answer was straightforward, simple, yet powerful. In his answer, Jesus puts together two fundamental commandments of the Old Testament. They have been being held apart. The first is found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." This is part of the Jewish mezuzah. that we find when we visit some of our Jewish friends right on their door. You'll see that. And this love for God implies basically total surrender and obedience. Then the second one is found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge. Do not bear grudges against each other, but love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus basically answered the question with one word, L-O-V-E. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, why would he say, love your neighbor as you love yourself? Because you see, the way we view and treat ourselves is the way we will view and treat others. If our self-worth is based on a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, we will possess a healthy, Christ-like image. His love makes us secure because of who we are in Christ. Now, self-image is defined as the way we and others view ourselves. But sometimes our image is the product of the people who surround us. People who label us correctly or incorrectly, and we own those labels. An example would be if a child grows up with a parent or a grandparent or a guardian that is abusive, has a violent temper, insecure, self-centered, authoritarian, someone who goes around victimizing everybody in that home, that child will grow up to be just as that parent or guardian, broken, and the pain will be inevitable because the child is molded by the behavior of the adult or adults in his or her life. And that child will grow up with a nurturing deficit, without an emotional language, not knowing how to truly express emotions in a healthy manner. And that's exactly what's happening in our society today. And perhaps there's some of us here sitting down, identifying with what I'm saying. But we go through life pretending that everything is okay, that our childhood was peachy cream, that we had the perfect parents. Well, praise the Lord if you did. Congratulations. But welcome to this broken, messed up world. Now, there's always a tension. It is a broken, messed up world, but at the same time, it is a wonderful world. That's why we need Jesus every moment and every hour. A child that grows up in this kind of environment is not able to give love or to build healthy relationships, because of the brokenness inside. And we could hide it, and we could be successful in many other areas, and we could dress it up. But remember, my friends, whatever it's in the well will come up in the bucket sooner or later. Nevertheless, there comes a time when we become adults And as adults, we must own our pain and deal with it in a healthy manner in order to break the cycle of dysfunction and or generational curses. Otherwise, as I said, we become like that unhealthy, dysfunctional, messed up parent. We fool ourselves in believing that, as I said, by repressing all that pain, everything will be okay. People who possess a poor self-image are seldom happy. Most times they view themselves deep down inside as failures. They're always striving and thriving, always hungering for approval. And because they live in judgment, they go around criticizing everybody else. And they're here today. They're around us. These are the people that come into the church and they criticize everything. They come every Sunday with a list, ready to write down how loud that organ music is, how loud that preacher girl is. And it's a long list, my friends. I just want to sit in front of them. I just want to engage them. I want to be able to take their hands and gaze into their souls and ask them, who hurt you? Who hurt you? Lent is a good time for us to do inward inventory. Rather than spending time looking around, being critical of everything and everybody, let's take the time to gaze at Jesus, to ask him to shine his light in our hearts. As one of the versions say, show me the sins that are lurking in my heart. I think it's the Amplified. And change me, oh God. We change by renewing our minds through the Word of God. Romans 12, so that we can begin to see ourselves as he sees us. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, as a living sacrifice so that you and I would have abundant and eternal life. Not when we get to heaven, but here and now. In a book titled, You Are Someone Special, Dr. Bruce Naramore says, self-love is not a narcissistic or self-centered goal. It is a central part of seeing ourselves as God sees us. We should learn to value ourselves both because God values us and because we will then be able to love God and others even more. In other words, learn to like yourself. Learn to live with yourself. If we don't like ourselves, if we are operating out of a shame base, then we cannot like anybody else around us. Ephesians 3:17. invites us to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself. These two commandments were the basis of everything that Jesus did, every action during his earthly ministry. He modeled for us what truly matters the most: healthy relationships, vertical and horizontals. If we are not having a healthy vertical relationship, God and I cannot have good, healthy, effective, loving, horizontal relationships. I was at a meeting here at the church not too long ago, and we were discussing certain things, and one member said, all these things can be compiled into one commandment. And that person was exactly right. Love God and love yourself. Now, during the time that Jesus spoke these words, Jews believed that their neighbor was someone that was just like them, acted like them, thought like them, someone who lived nearby. And some things never change. There's still people today in the church that feel the same way. Why do we have to support a missionary in Kenya? They're not here. What do we care? Because they come to church and it's a social club mentality. Come preach me happy and make me happy, and then I go home. My beloved brothers and sisters, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ will make us uncomfortable. The gospel of Jesus Christ is countercultural. The culture is going one way. Jesus is taking us a different way. But somehow our ears just want to come and get tickled a little bit, and that's it. Jesus defined a neighbor as somebody, anybody, we can encounter anywhere. It could be someone who lives near or someone who lives far. Think about all the relationships that Jesus had while he was on earth. Think about the disciples that he called. They were all messed up and dysfunctional. Truly. Take Peter. He never thought. He just spoke. He got into trouble all the time. They were out fishing. And there's something moving. And one of the disciples says to him, Peter, I think that's the master over there. Apparently, Jesus was walking on water. Peter jumps out and says, Master, if it is you, conditional, make me walk on water. And I could just see Jesus say, Peter, come on down. And Peter is there walking on water, full of himself, full of pride, wanting everybody to look at him. Look, I am walking on water. He looked down just to make sure that it was water and that he was walking upon it. And he began to drown. Then John, who called himself the beloved disciple, the one that Jesus loved the most, And later on, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote a gospel, Gospel of John. Matthew, a tax collector who was taking money from everybody. Then a woman who is called a woman of ill repute. Luke 7:36. And Jesus had had a relationship with her and had healed her and delivered her. And one day this woman hears that Jesus is coming to that area and that they were going to have a dinner. And this woman had a precious treasure. Back in those days, it was called an alabaster box with a very expensive perfume, an ointment. That was the greatest thing she had, like $1 million kind of thing. And she decided to enter that house, kneel before Jesus. She broke every rule. Open her alabaster box and pour that oil, that ointment, on his feet. Oh, what a scandal that was. Judas right away said, "What a waste." We could have used that money. You know what Jesus responded to that? He who has been forgiven little loves little. He who has been forgiven much loves much. Oh, how I love Jesus. You see, when we turn our messes and our past to Jesus, he can turn them into powerful messages. And when we surrender the holes, that's what I like to call them, the holes in our souls, to him, he's more than able to heal us and fill our hearts with his love, so that we can begin to love ourselves and others the way he loves us. My friends, when it's all said and done, what matters the most? Healthy relationships. And when we are in relationship with Jesus Christ, he changes us. When the church as a whole is in relationship with Jesus Christ, the church is transformed from an inward focus to outward focus. The church, and that's you and I, then is truly empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out and transform the community with the love of Christ. While building healthy relationships, meaningful relationships with others in the community. That's what really matters the most. And that's when the kingdom of God is at hand. Let us pray. Father God, forgive us for the so many times that we keep our eyes on earthly things. And we think that the accumulation of earthly things is really what matters. Reminds us that though all those things are great, they don't last forever. And we cannot take them with us. Help us to have an eternal perspective. Help us to live life with an eternal perspective. Help us to set some time apart so that we can spend time with you. And say to you, where you lead me, I will follow. I will be your heart, your hands, your feet. I will bring salvation to a broken world and make it a better world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.